When I think of stories, I think of them kind of like welcome mats. And in Canada, when you go to somebody's door, you stop at that mat, take off your shoes before you enter in. And part of that's just good housekeeping. That's just how Canadians roll. But then it's also a time of transition. You're entering into somebody's space. You're entering into their world and you share something in common. That moment, you share that time in common. And I think stories do that for us. They invite us to step into somebody else's life and we kind of take off our shoes in humility. There's something sacred about it's their story to share and to just listen and be present.
What makes a story stick? Not just the facts, not just the headline, but the moment when you realize there's a real person behind it. On this podcast, we spend a lot of time listening to those moments. Stories of neighbors showing up for one another. Stories that remind us that compassion isn't just an idea. It's something ordinary people live out every day. But today's episode is a little bit different. Instead of hearing one story from a guest, we're pulling back the curtain on something that sits underneath many of the stories that you hear on Neighborly. How stories are shared, how they're seen, and why the way we communicate them actually matters. You'll hear from someone many of you already know, Wendy Park, the founder of Care Impact. She's joined by her sister, Doralyn, who brings years of experience in design and visual storytelling. And I'll jump in on the conversation as well, because this topic sits right at the heart of the work I love doing. Together, we'll talk about why stories have the power to change how we see people, why quality and creativity matter more than we sometimes realize, and how a new initiative called Care Creatives Company is hoping to help organizations share their work in a way that truly connects with community. Because behind every mission, every organization, and every act of care, there's a story waiting to be told. So let's join Shannon at the table.
Good morning, team. Wendy, Johan, Doralyn. I love getting to start every podcast episode because I get to hear these cool stories about people's neighbors. So Johan already answered this question way back at the beginning of the season. So Wendy, growing up, who was a neighbor that you'll never forget?
One, we lived in the countryside, so we didn't have like physical neighbors next door for the most of my memory. But I think actually one memory that I have was preschool. And my mom was in this thing called Nefren, which is like a sewing circle. So the women in the countryside, we were just living outside of town, and they would gather together, I think on weekly, and they would sing and do some Bible study, but they would sew together. And I just remember the smell of like cabbage soup and pistachio pudding and these weird things. But I would sit under the chair of my mom and just see them doing community. And that's kind of a childhood memory when I think of neighbors.
That's beautiful. Cabbage soup and pistachio pudding. That's quite the combo.
Sounds weird.
I'm repulsed by pistachio pudding because I overate. This one lady would always bring it and she knew I liked it and I overate.
Yeah.
So I won't eat it again.
Doralyn, how about for you? Who was a neighbor that you'll never forget?
Well, when I think of a neighbor, I mean, growing up out in the country, like Wendy said, we had an older gentleman living beside us. Mr. Brown was his name. And he was, as a child, I just saw him as this nice, friendly, older grandpa kind of man and would love to go there and he would give us chips and things like that. And it was kind of neat. It was only in later years that I realized that this man was actually struggling with addictions and a broken marriage and things like that. So I didn't see that as a child. He was always friendly and would have stuff for us or tell us stories or stuff like that. And so I just have really good memories of it. But looking back, I realize now he was a hurting man.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And for our listeners that don't know, Wendy and Doralyn are sisters. So they both grew up together on the outside of town. Okay. Well, I'm excited to get into this episode today. We're going to talk a lot about stories and communication and sharing about incredible things that are happening and how we can do that better together. So Wendy, you have spent years helping churches and communities to care for families. What have you noticed about how stories shape the way people respond to needs?
Well, when I think of stories, I think of them kind of like welcome mats. And in Canada, when you go to somebody's door, you stop at that mat, take off your shoes before you enter in. And part of that's just good housekeeping. That's just how Canadians roll. But then it's also a time of transition. You're entering into somebody's space. You're entering into their world and you share something in common. That moment, you share that time in common. And I think stories do that for us. They invite us to step into somebody else's life and we kind of take off our shoes in humility. There's something sacred about it's their story to share and to just listen and be present. And so when we do that, I think stories change us. It changes, it humanizes people from maybe some black and white thinking to maybe full definition of like, wow, I didn't realize that. And so, and I think Jesus is our best example. He led with stories and he's always connected with people through story. So in what we do with Care Impact, story is central to everything we do. Like Care Portal, for example, that is very story-based. And Care Portal is a connecting technology that connects the needs within the community identified through social services and frontline serving agencies, working with community members, particularly the church, but all of community to connect through these stories. And it's not just a put in a need and there's lots of poverty. Boy, do we need backpacks. It's not that at all. Like those physical, tangible needs are met, but it's through story. So we teach a lot on with our social workers that are coming on that the importance of storytelling, not to just get just social justice or too concrete, to relate to story. So for example, I could talk till I'm blue in the face and say, community, we've got a poverty issue. And look at these statistics. And all across Canada, we are facing increasing addictions and homelessness and all of these things. And on one level, people could empathize. But if I'm opening up my Care Portal app and I notice 10 minutes from my house, I have a notification that there's a refugee widow, let's say from Iraq, and she's got 6 kids and they're trying to settle in Canada and young children, and they want to make Canada their home, but they're struggling. And social services has been informed and they don't want to pull this family apart, but they have noticed they don't have beds, they don't have adequate food, they don't have the right adequate clothing, and the resources that are provided within the system are inadequate. And mom would like community and mom needs this many beds and a few bunk bed frames. I tell you, when I tell that story, or when I communicate that with a church, it lands different than saying, guys, we got to do something about poverty. And same thing with Care Labs, our training. Story is so important. That's why we do the COPE poverty experience. They're living in the life of a story, an actual story of somebody in poverty. It's no longer at the end of that, I guarantee everyone's not going to say they should do better or I would do this. They will have empathy through that. So yeah, story is a huge piece of all that we do, and it really makes meaningful connections possible.
That's right. Yeah, Wendy, thanks for sharing that perspective. And like you said, it humanizes people. We can see ourselves in their story and them in us, whether our stories are the exact same or not, but we're people, people to people. Johan, you have helped produce a lot of the stories on this podcast that people have heard. What is your perspective on the impact that stories have on listeners?
One thing I wish I had actually done is keep track of how many times people came up to me and mentioned a story that they heard on the Neighborly podcast, formerly Journey with Care, and said how much it's actually adjusted the way that they view people and the way that they think. It's amazing that this little podcast can have such an impact, even on a few individuals. I think just doing that and hearing that feedback is totally worth it. I know that's where my love of podcasting came from, is I listen to podcasts and I find myself viewing others differently because of story, and even helping host some of these episodes and hearing all the interviews and editing them and hearing them over and over again because I'm editing, I find I'm viewing people differently myself. So it's really good for me. Like I love doing the podcast just for my own personal transformation, but like you said, stories humanize people, right? So everything Care Impact does when it comes to compassion, loving our neighbors, doing Care Portal like Wendy mentioned, once you put a voice to a story or a face to that story, it really has way more impact than just hearing information about an abstract story that happened somewhere else. So I think story is huge. Obviously, as a podcast guy, I have a bias, but yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. And you're kind of already really hitting the core of this about how stories can really change the way we see people. So I'm curious, any of you feel free to answer, but for you specifically, how has hearing stories changed how you see people in everyday life?
When I encounter people on the daily, I like just hearing some of these neighbor stories, even how we can love our neighbors differently. I used to maybe just walk by them like the story of the Good Samaritan. I'd be the guy that'd walk by. But now, you know what? I look a little bit longer. There's a story behind that person. I wonder what that is. Because I hear so many stories, it really makes me want to go deeper and want to engage them a little bit more. And it just naturally causes me to have compassion on individuals that I encounter. I can point specifically to the start of this podcast when it was Journey with Care. We did a whole season on reconciliation with the Indigenous peoples and the church. That really flipped the script on a lot of my thinking on how we engage with the Indigenous people and how we can relate to them as the church and really walk alongside them. So that had a huge impact on even my thinking and how I relate to the Indigenous people that I encounter.
Yeah, so good. Wendy, Dorlan, anything you want to add to that?
I think story has actually informed my faith. There's been times where I felt disillusioned with religion and theology. I studied it, but you get to a point of, so what? At the end of the day, it's like, Jesus loves me and I should love my neighbor. But what about all those extra things and this stuff? I'm not dismissing theology, but I think what story has done for me, and just a little bit of context, I'm a story seeker. I did my undergrad overseas and living in countries. And when I was doing my master's, I went to the Middle East and I needed to hear the stories of people rather than just seeing the headlines on the news, because I don't know, I'm just curious. And I was looking for my purpose and my meaning in life, not in their stories per se, but they informed me in how the gospel is still so true and how it's being lived out. And stories impacted my perspective and my worldview. And it's actually brought life to my spiritual self, because there's something sacred whether they're believers or not, but there's something sacred when you step into their story and you see the image of Christ in people. You can't see the image of Christ on a headline. You can't see an image of Christ simply by having a good expository theological sermon. But you can see the sacredness in others and the image of Christ when you step into their stories and just see how gracious God is, or how he is showing up in the lives of others. And so I don't think it's just we should do storytelling so that we can do good and make an impact in this world. We should. But it's more personal than that. I think stories change us in how we show up with others and be vulnerable. Like, it's not just, we can't just extract other people's stories and say, wow, that felt good. Wow, where did I see God there? But now, where am I being that vulnerable and letting other people onto my welcome mat and say, come on in? Because sometimes it's easy to go listen to all the juice out there and say, wow, this Iraqi woman or this Indigenous family coming out of the residential schools, and we can look for those and parade them on our stages. But if we're not going to be vulnerable with our stories, they challenge me to also welcome people into my mat, the good and the ugly. Like, my house is messy sometimes, but I have to welcome them in anyway through that hospitality. And so sharing my story is just as much part of my growth as listening to. So it's a reciprocal thing.
Yeah, that's right. And we've talked a little bit about how stories impact us personally and a little bit of our roles here at Care Impact. So I want to take this a step further. When, for you, Wendy, when we're working with other organizations, what challenges do you see when it comes to communicating the work that they are doing?
I think in organizations, and I've been in nonprofit even before founding Care Impact, 12, 13 years ago, I was doing community development work and working deep within social justice and community development. We can talk lots in acronyms. We can geek out a bit. It works around the table, like across other agencies, but we can start talking in a way that actually doesn't make community accessible or the things we do accessible to the everyday public. And so I think we need to carry that heart for community as organizations and for organizations that I work with. I just encourage, how do we make it into a grade five English so that it's accessible for everybody, that not just those that we serve are the ones that are recipients of our care, but we also involve the broader community into their story, not just as donors, but that they see themselves in this story. They see themselves into how the programs are running with them in volunteering and just being with and creating good community and connection within community. And so I think we need to create more accessible language so that people in the church and people, good people down the street, they can see that organization on that corner more than just a place they go to a gala dinner and give a donation. And good for you. I'm so glad that you're helping people off the street. But they feel like they have a place with that. And I think that's important. So that language is one thing. A lot of times we need to do more education in gentle ways, why community needs to be involved. And obviously, you know that I'm a huge proponent of collective impact, meaning like getting the whole community involved. And so we've got to find those on-ramps so that community and other sectors and other organizations can work with us. There is a scarcity mentality. And so we sometimes want to keep to our own and not share resources or share intel and stuff. And I love the work you're doing, Shannon, here in Winnipeg. You're breaking that. You're bringing agency workers together. You're bringing people into a we mentality instead of us and them. We're wrestling through how do we better engage the community. And I think that's a great example of how to work with organizations. And that's something that Care Impact is a big fan of.
Yeah, exactly. And something I'd add to that too is that I think there's organizations and businesses who want to be communicating what they're doing, but they might just have a limited capacity, or they might be focused on the good work that they're doing with people on the ground. But because they're caring for people physically and tangibly, you know, thinking about storytelling and communicating that just can't be a priority, or it isn't a priority.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And if you are somebody that wants to get involved in the community, but you feel like, well, I don't know even how, or they're too busy to talk to me or something, I think a neighbor organization that is doing good in your community, get curious and just approach them. Go to their public function. Sometimes they have it. Don't wait for an invitation, but find ways to get curious about how, not coming with an agenda of how you are going to serve their needs, but get curious, listen and ask, where is it that you're finding the most challenges, or what are the opportunities that you would love community to do? And that's simply how we got involved in Winnipeg. I just kept asking organizations across the city. So many people here across Winnipeg are doing great things. But when I ask, what is going above and beyond your work that you would love, if you had trained community, if you had people wanting to care and you just needed access, what are the things that you would love for them to do? And that's why Care Portal identifies those things, makes it very practical and accessible. But in the meantime, just get curious and ask how you can get involved with organizations and get involved with the Care Portal.
Yeah, so good. And so I think we're talking about some people who might want to be getting involved. And I think there are lots of skill sets and gifts out there that people maybe don't realize can really make an impact. So Dorlan, I'm going to kind of turn things to you, because often the first thing that someone encounters isn't a story, but it's actually something visual, either a website or a logo or a printed material. Can you share, you have so much experience in design and graphics and all these different things. Why does that matter for organizations or just businesses in the community?
Well, the visual is generally the front door. Often people will look at your website or see something visual, and that's how they'll hear about you. And that's where they'll form their impression before they ever hear your story. That's where they'll decide whether they want to hear more of your story, whether they want to hear more of what you do. It's a front door, basically. If you have a good presence, let's say with your website, you have a good presence, people do judge you for that, whether we like it or not. But we do judge based on what we see, based on visuals often. And so it's important for organizations. Businesses may be doing an amazing work. They may be selling an amazing product or service. But if we don't have that story, that visual story, you won't be seen. People won't hear about your good work or how they can get involved with your organization.
Yeah, totally. And Johan, as someone who's been in the podcast space for a long time, where does storytelling fit alongside things like branding or websites?
It's been proven, actually, that brands that have a story and tell their story do a lot better than ones that don't. So I have a side business where I do podcasting, and obviously I do that with Care Impact, and we'll talk about how we're adding a service that we can do it for other businesses as well. But I've worked with small businesses and a few larger ones, and it's not only important for them to tell their stories through a podcast, because podcast has very intimate listeners. Like, they have much better rates than even YouTube going on video. Listeners tend to stick on a lot longer, and it's actually more intimate because it's right in your ear. It's usually when you're doing something like a chore or something, so you're less distracted by other visuals. It's one thing to just tell your story on a podcast, but to do it with quality is really important, because there's so much competition out there, because everybody's telling their stories. Technology is getting better and easier to sound better and look better. So the ones that are sticking out are the ones that actually sound really good, which is why I make it like my mission to make us sound the best we can, to put out the stories the best we can, because if people want to get vulnerable and tell their stories, we want to do it justice as well. We want to make sure that it sounds good, comes out clear, so that the message is clear.
I actually just yesterday dropped a podcast. They have good content, but I just couldn't handle the sound. And not a judgment on their content or the person behind the voice behind the podcast, but my ears couldn't handle it. It was like static in my ears. And actually, statistics show if you don't have good sound, you're going to defeat the message. It's like Doralyn, if you don't have good visuals, people will judge you and not look further into the good work you do. So sound actually matters, and you're going to drop people if you don't do it well. And Johan, you've given me an appreciation for that, but my ears know good sound.
Yeah. Such a good point, you guys, that the quality and the audio and what we're hearing and we're seeing really matters. And Johan, you already hinted at this. Wendy, can you share about how the lead up process into noticing that there's organizations out there in Canada doing meaningful work, but are lacking in that creative infrastructure? And tell us a little bit how that birthed Care Creatives Company.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it actually birthed Care Impact itself. I loved the work I was doing before Care Impact, but what got me to quit my job and travel across this country looking for what is happening across our country, across our cities, where our networks forming, is because we need to do things better together. There's a lot of siloed activities and there's a lot of good things happening, but in disjointed activity, it's actually very inefficient. And we can actually create systemic change and go upstream and reverse the poverty cycles and things. We can do these one-off things.
So tell us, how did this birth Care Creatives? How did Care Creatives Company take shape?
So we've developed infrastructure for Canada. We're still at an early stage, beta stage. It's ready to expand now for care portal technology, for connecting technology, just like Uber. We're ready to grow. And Care Labs, we have a way to bring meaningful training across this country so that these organizations that are often working in isolation can get connected, can get the information so that churches can get equipped for good works together. Not just talk about working together, but this is how good working together looks like and how we can do it in practicality. So while podcasting has been an effective means for us to connect with Canada, we want to showcase beautiful things that other organizations are doing, and not just philanthropy or ministries. Those are important, and we want to serve you in good podcasting. It does make a difference, but also in the marketplace. There's marketplace leaders that want to do social good. They have stories to share. It's not just like rising up in capitalism and trying to get rich. They have kingdom mindsets, and we want your stories heard as well. And visually as well, we want your websites to look good so that we can help connect you into the broader community. We want visually to have good business cards, and because business cards make connections, and those little things matter. And so the Care Creatives company really is a social enterprise, so we can compete with the best of them. I will testify, because Johan and Dorlan will be too humble, but they have over 30 years of professional experience in audio and visual and websites and things like that. They have been doing it in the marketplace, and now we're creating this company so that people can get the same services that you would get in a for-profit, but all of the proceeds, all of the what is being paid for professional services actually goes back into the community. So by getting your stories out there, by getting your needs met, you're paying for it anyway through for-profit companies, we can do it, but get your stories told, and while you're doing it, support more community connections in the other things we're doing with Care Portal and the Care Lab. So it's kind of a win-win. It's not just for the social enterprise money. We want marketplace and ministry leaders, people in government, to be able to be good storytellers, because stories connect, stories humanize you, and we want to know who you are beyond your logo. But we can build your logo too.
Yeah, so good. Johan and Dorlan, I'd love to hear, as you are going to be two people really leading this company, this aspect of Care Impact, what excites you most about getting to help people share their work more clearly, whether that's through audio production or whether that's through print products or website design? Tell us what excites you.
From my experience, like, I've been in business, in marketing, design, website, that kind of stuff for quite a while. What excites me is seeing the confidence that a good brand, a good logo, a good website gives people. And it's so often you just see their eyes light up and they're proud to show what they do. It just brings them a confidence, a credibility that people see out from the outside when they look at their website, when they look at your branding. And branding isn't just a logo. It's how do I feel when I see your workplace, or how do I feel when I go to your website, or when I talk to you on the phone? That's all brand, the feel. And if we can help you build that, it just brings out a confidence in the owner, in the workers. And it's a beautiful thing to see. That's always been a highlight for me, to bring confidence to people.
That's beautiful. How about for you, Johan?
I love giving businesses a platform to actually be thought leaders in their field. And that happens so often when businesses start a podcast. In fact, I've lost some clients because they've grown out of the podcast and ended up doing like TED Talks and TV shows instead, because the podcast has helped their business grow. It's not always good for me, but it's good for them. But it excites me that there are so many good stories and organizations doing good things, but there's no way of people knowing what they're doing unless they're telling the stories. And the thing is, like with podcasting now, these things are starting to be able to get searched through Google searches and stuff, because we're adding transcripts to all the platforms now. So when you search something, Google's going to find the answer through that transcript on the podcast. So it's becoming even more important than ever before, because when people go to a website now, there's so many podcasts out there. People expect to see a podcast on your website. Like it's almost something every business needs to have nowadays, to stand up from the other businesses around them and be thought leaders in their areas. So it excites me to see businesses grow and do well, and new stories, especially local ones, Canadian stories, get told.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much out there. Like you said, there's so many incredible organizations, businesses. I think of small family-owned businesses that have a heart for community, or just have a heart to provide a quality craft or service. And those things need to be shared. And I think there's so much learning, like we've talked about, shared learning and opening up our perspectives when we get to see those stories amplified.
And when we do good audio, when we do good visual, when we do good storytelling through all our senses, that is a way of spreading good news that we often underestimate. They may not be open to hearing the gospel and what your core convictions, as important as that is, but they will be drawn in by the hope that you have and the stories that you share that are hope-filled. We have enough headlines out there that ground us with reality of war and desperation and people in disunity. We need good stories. That's the antidote to a lot of the bad out there, is to actually produce more good stories and to do it with excellence. And we can do that through Care Creative's company, is help you tell good stories and be good in your community.
The stories we share here remind us that care does not have to be perfect to be powerful. It just has to be present. Neighborly is an initiative of Care Impact, a Canadian charity equipping churches, agencies, and communities with technology and training to care better together. This episode was produced by Care Creatives Co., a social enterprise of Care Impact. If you're building a podcast and want help with strategy, editing, or full production, visit carecreativesco.ca to connect with us. I'm Johan. Thanks for listening. And keep being the kind of neighbor someone will never forget, in a good way. Sister, take my hand.